This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Hey, Sherman, a good Sunday morning.
You know, Scott, it's a great Sunday morning with all the horrible things that are going on in the world and everybody trying to put them aside for a moment so that we can celebrate the holiday season for everybody. For everybody's religious reasons and for holiday reasons and for gift-giving reasons. And, you know, the spirit of this time of year is almost universal. It's good to be in a town whose football team is going to the national championship. And that really is kind of an underlying, you know, excitement here in Missoula. You know, for on January 7th, we're going to Frisco, Texas. We're going to play in a stadium that's smaller than our stadium, but we're going to be playing South Dakota State for the national championship. And everybody here is very prideful that we were able to do that. And it's exciting to be able to call Missoula home right now.
I agree. And I think, without saying, you know, without being overly optimistic and confident, I think we are going to win. I know we're going to win.
That's good. You can bet in Vegas. At the moment, it's a 13.5 point spread. We're underdogs, 13.5 points.
I know, but it was 14.5 days ago.
When you get 3 weeks to prepare for a game, and we have some folks today on the show that we can talk about this with.
I know.
You know, it kind of levels the playing field. You know, usually in the regular course of a season, you get a week to prepare for the next team.
Right.
And then you got a team the week right after that.
Right.
This is the last game. There's 3 weeks, three full weeks. One of them is a holiday week, so people can relax and be with their families
right.
for the holidays. But there's ample amount of time to analyze tape and review the other team and see what's going on. Also, I don't want to not mention the fact that our men's basketball team and women's basketball team both have winning records to launch into the season, and they've had some very big wins. You know, the men beat San Diego State at San Diego State, which
big
is a
deal.
Huge win for us. So that's very exciting. And on top of all of this,
as if you could, not enough presents,
not enough
one
presents.
More present.
We have two of the best name. Student athletes in the United States. I guarantee you there's no team that has two better names than the two names I'm going to share with you.
And they are?
So the Grizz just signed as an incoming freshman next year for the football team, the first football player from Browning, Montana, and an enrolled member of the Blackhawk Nation.
Fantastic.
And his name is Tommy Running Rabbit.
Okay.
So we now have a football player named Tommy Running Rabbit, excuse me. And our...
what position?
He played defense.
Okay.
And he played wide receiver and running back. They list him as an athlete. And he's, you know, it's very exciting. And we have currently a freshman basketball player who's number two in scoring on our team, whose real name is the same name as his father's name. And he's out of Oakland, California. His name is Money Williams. And I think that's one of the best names for a basketball player I've ever heard. And that's not a nickname. That's his given
Money
name.
Money Williams.
Money Williams. His dad's name was Money Williams. So Montana Athletics. Montana Athletics have a running rabbit and a money ball player.
Money ball.
You know, talking about money ball, I just want to throw this in. It's an upside down world, and I want to talk to our guests today, Greg Sundberg and Eric Tabor, about this with this NIL money.
Oh yeah,
the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is making $870,000 this year. The backup quarterback for the University of Texas, Arch Manning Jr., is making $2.3 million in NIL money. There seems to be something just feels wrong about that. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think that the world is upside down.
There are some players that have gone through this athletic portal now four times. They've moved to four different schools getting four different pots of money.
We need to ask the guys whether we're worried about anybody else going through the portal now.
And we can't compete
one
in
of
that
our players,
world.
We can't.
You know, there was...
do you compete?
I don't know. Chip Kelly, I think, who was the coach of UCLA, just said there should be a... the NCAA should basically have a league that has 32 teams. And those are the teams that have, you know, the big name teams, the teams that have the money, and then everybody all, you know, it's sort of like the
minor leagues.
Well, European soccer, you have the Premier League, and then you have other leagues. Montana can never attract a 4 or 5 star recruit if they get millions of dollars. They're getting more money than the entire athletic staff makes.
Not unless a very well-heeled booster wants to help us.
You know, and there's supposed to be a firewall between the NIL money and the teams, but I don't know how that really works, because how do you raise money to give NIL money unless you know who the player is? And the only way you know the player is by the school letting you know who the player they're going after is.
I'm sorry I can't answer these questions, but our guests, Greg Sundberg and Eric Tabor, will be able to do so. Back with those guys right after these words. Arnie, we are back with Greg Sundberg and Eric Tabor.
Our luminary guests. I'm almost in awe. I generally don't get in awe of guests, but these guys really, in many ways, have their fingers on the pulse of all things Montana Grizz. And there's so much to talk about now. And it's good to have a show when we're in the national championship in our football program, which everybody lives or dies for in not only Missoula, but around the state of Montana, except in the corridor near Bozeman. And the basketball team, both men, the men and women, the Lady Grizz and the Grizz, will have winning records. They've had signature wins. And so everything's great in Missoula right now. The holidays and the winning team. And we got Eric Tabor, who's head of communications for the Grizz. And we got Greg Sundberg, who's our color commentator and analyst for Grizz football. And every time I hear
an
you...
Associate AD.
An associate AD. But every time I hear you, Greg, doing the radio show, because even when they're on TV, I turn the TV off and listen to you and Riley, I think of Milton Bradley. And you know why?
What is that?
Milton Bradley is a game company that invented 1956 Yahtzee. And you're the only sports guy I know who uses that. When I hear Yahtzee, I'm like it's like a dog whistle for me. Grizz must have done something fantastic, and I got to run to the radio. So for our listeners, will you do your Yahtzee yell?
Yahtzee, I can't. I'll be honest. I don't know if I can.
He needs to be prompted.
Yeah, I've got to see it.
Where did you come up with
something
it?
Exciting?
I truly have no. There's a few things that have been said on the radio that I don't know. That one, I really don't know where it came from. I do know this is a true story, especially around the holidays. My family, my mom was born and raised, and my grandmother born and raised, same house up in East Center Street, 131 East Center Street, up in Centerville of Butte, Montana. And around the holidays, we travel in, and there was the old school, right? When you talk about the pen and paper, no digital. But we played Yahtzee every holiday. So Yahtzee was one of my favorite games growing up as a kid.
Mine too.
And it just came out like Yahtzee's a positive thing. And if you roll a Yahtzee, you get excited. And
so the question is, do Gen X and millennials play Yahtzee?
I think so, just on their computers.
Good. Well, but they know what it means, at least. They don't think there's some Chinese sympathizer or some Asian.
Nothing like that. So we have fun with it. It's all about having fun, and we've got a great broadcast team, and we just have fun. And it's really tough not to have fun right now.
Right.
Yeah. The way this football team's playing.
Mm-hmm. Eric, your job couldn't be any better this time of year. You know, when we are playing in the national championship, you have winning teams out there. The media coverage is fantastic. We've been on ESPN two weeks in a row. There's folks all over the country watching the Grizz. You got Bobby at the end of the semifinal game saying, there's no college kid who wouldn't want to play here in Missoula, Montana.
That was the best.
Fantastic backdrop. And I've had people call me from all over the country saying, I saw Missoula, you know, on Friday night, and it looked fantastic. And we were fortunate, as we all know, to be like, on at least in one of those slots, the only game on.
Right.
The only, you know, so for diehard sports fans, they were watching, you know, the Grizz play in Missoula, Montana.
It has been phenomenal, the exposure we've had through this playoff run. And, you know, okay, so you make the playoffs and you're gonna get on ESPN and it's going to be, you know, good exposure. But to have two absolutely blockbuster games.
Right.
Well, three blockbuster games, and one of them was a snow game. Not a football fan in the country doesn't love a snow game to watch on TV.
Absolutely.
So you got eyeballs there. And you've got two bonanza overtime, crazy, wild, great, hard-fought football games. underneath Mount Sentinel. You know what I mean? Like, just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And it's been really surprising and just exciting for me to kind of hear from all the different corners of the world, like, this was the stuff to watch. The last two games were the things to watch in the country. And people were tuning in, and right. and people were giving us shout-outs, and we made a lot of fans the last few weeks.
Right. And yeah, and for us who've been around a long time, beating Montana State 30-7 was just better than
that started any the ball
of
that. Rolling.
I mean, come on. That's what we live for. Wait, I remember Bobby's
Greg
quote.
Wants to say something.
I remember Bobby's quote when he said, you know, I'd like to play five quarters so I could kick their ass even more. You know, I mean, it is a tongue-in-cheek and to some level rivalry, but it's a serious rivalry. I have to tell you guys, when I ran the Montana World Trade Center at the university, there were companies in Montana that shall remain nameless that would not work with me because I came off of the University of Montana campus, and they were Bobcats.
Yeah.
They would not work with me.
That's how it runs. That's how it works in the state.
You know, people say Michigan State, baloney. You know, Oregon, this is really one of the most ingrained rivalries in any competitive sports.
What's the equivalent of their GSA? Do they have something?
Yeah, Bobcat Athletic Association. I think most Division I schools, and actually,
GSA is a lot better.
Yeah, so that's their fundraising arm, and let's call it what it is. They've done a tremendous job over there on the other side of the hill, especially the last few years, building up their programs, generating revenue through ticket sales and donations, and you know we've really flourished for 20 plus, well, longer than that, for a long period of time. And when you're at the top of the mountain, people are chasing you. And so I think, quite honestly, the last few years was kind of a shot in our arm to say, we've got to get this going. And this is not our expectations. And that's across the board when we talk about our goals. It's we want to beat them. We don't care if it's pickup sticks. We want to beat the Cats.
Absolutely. In basketball and any sport. It's really unusual for what the expectation is for both of you guys. You're both in communications area for the university. You're both representing Grizz Athletics. When I went to college, we were giddy if we had a winning record.
Right.
I went to the University of Cincinnati, and it was back in the earlier days. And the last year I was there, we were 6-5, and people were like just ecstatic. Bobby goes 6-5, and they want to fire him. Bobby goes 7-4, 8-3 is unacceptable in Missoula, Montana. I would say of the top 200 programs in the country, 8-3, they would be happy. Their coach would be getting a raise.
That's what I find fascinating about the levels of where we're at. The FCS football level, Division I basketball level, versus University of Cincinnati, the Mountain West, or just FBS football in general. You get bowl eligible. That's what the goal is, right?
Right. Right.
And that's 6 wins. And you know, that to me, I mean, I'm a born and raised Missoulian. I love playoff football. Always have. But 6 wins is just hard to rally around.
Right.
Well, there are 30 bowls. I went and looked at them. I'm not watching anything till New Year's Day, basically.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and Chip Kelly, you know, the coach at UCLA now, you know, he's bounced around a bit, says that, you know, there should be, like in European football, the Premier League of the top 32 teams competing, and then everybody else should be in different leagues or different levels.
Yeah, and kind of to Eric's point, though, we're at that Division I FCS spot, that level, and we feel – and things change, as we know, every day, every hour, right, things change. Right. But we are where we need to be. We are where we want to be.
I'd say 100%. I don't think, no matter how much money it would bring in, if Montana moved up to Mountain West or whatever other conference, it's for sure we're going to be 5-5, something like that, for a few years. You can't just move up. The scholarships take a while to, you know, bring the players on board. The NIL money, which we'll talk about in a little while, is problematic. This town would rather be 10-1 against whoever than be 5-1 or Hawaii or somebody like that. We want tradition.
But this could be one of those seminal seasons where this is where we were then. Here's where we are now, 5 years down the road.
Yeah. At FCS.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost what it has to be. As we all remember, Marshall used to be the team that we all – and then they moved up, and who's heard of Marshall since then?
Not much.
Right.
Not much.
Right.
Yeah, yep. I mean, you know, they don't have a Randy Moss playing for them. They don't have a Chad Pennington playing for them.
They have Chad Pennington's son playing for them. Actually, that's what I saw. It makes me feel really old. But, you know, and I took note just, you know, we're going to play in the national championship down in Frisco, Texas.
Right.
2 days ago, 3 days ago was the Frisco Bowl. Right. Which Marshall was playing in against Texas San Antonio. And there was, you know, it was a 20,000-seat stadium. There was maybe 10,000 people there. It just didn't have the same pizzazz that this championship's
going to have. How do you feel, I'll ask you first, Greg, how are we going to fare on 1-7? I mean, both of you guys have been involved with this team for a long time, but specifically this season.
Let me add something before they respond.
Please.
So for the last few years, South Dakota State's been a juggernaut. They're 29 straight wins.
Sure.
They look like a team that could compete in the Pac-10
right.
or Pac-12 or whatever it's called these days, Pac-2,
yeah.
you know, when everybody
thinks Pac-0.
So we got 3 weeks to prepare, but you just have the talent you have, and they have the talent they have, and they look pretty impressive.
Well, I've been telling people South Dakota State beat Montana State only because the quarterback threw a pass in front of the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Otherwise, Montana State would have won that game.
That was the best comparison. They beat them by 4 points.
And what do we do to Montana State?
Right.
So at this level, I mean, look at the Furmans of the world. Heck, the Delawares of the world. North Dakota State, South Dakota State, to a degree, Idaho. They're all pretty evenly balanced, I feel like. And whoever's playing good that day is going to win that game.
Sure.
I feel like.
So Taves feels that. How about you?
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this is kind of like cliche-ish a little bit, but when you get in the playoffs, really maybe besides round one, there's some big discrepancies between the host team and, you know, who they're playing, but they're all good. We saw it the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, it's going to come down to the little things. It really is. I think we'd all agree Montana has to play their best football with a senior-laden South Dakota State team. Their DNA is just like the rest of the Missouri Valley. They're going to stop the run. They're going to run the ball. I think that the X factor for them is their quarterback can make them go. He can do it all through the air, and nothing knocking Cam Miller at NDSU. Maybe he was an effective passer. I think he completed like 75% of his passes, but at the same time, they didn't ask him to do much.
And we put a lot of pressure on him, and he didn't perform well. As soon as he didn't perform well under pressure, we got more pressure on him.
But, you know, around the offices right now, it's such a joyous time for our department, our campus, our city, but we're saying, why not us? Why not? We got one game.
Hey, if you looked at the competition, I mean, North Dakota State is a more formidable team to play than University of Albany.
Sure.
I mean, you say they're all even, but they're really not all even. I watched that game, and you probably watched it too. That team was completely overmatched in all phases of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they played a really good football game the week earlier. But again, it's what team shows up. South Dakota's played here at Frisco. They know this situation. They know what they're doing on Thursday. They know what they're doing on Friday. This is new to us. I mean, I know we love to pound our chests at Montana like we're doing this year in and year out. It's been a few years, Tabes.
A little bit, Well, you know, part of it is, I was chatting with somebody just after the Idaho win. Actually, we went down to Moscow and beat Idaho, and we were like, "Oh yeah, there." No, it was actually the week after when Idaho beat Montana State.
Right.
I was chatting to someone, and we were thinking like, "Okay, well, you know, Idaho's could be for real. They're going to be in the playoffs." But my friend sort of just nudged me and said, there's still only two teams in this conference that are going to win games in the playoffs. And that's the key, is winning games in the playoffs, because getting into the playoffs is one thing, and winning a first-round game is another thing. I mean, the Albanys of the world can do that. And maybe a second-round game, because Albany went to Idaho and played a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
But you run out of juice if you're not used to this sort of thing. It's hard to keep it going through three, four rounds.
And I forget the stat. I mean, Riley Corcoran is just full of stats. But the next step to that is not only getting to the playoffs, but putting yourself in a situation where you have home field advantage.
Well,
and that, as we saw with false starts, penalties,
Everything.
I mean, Washington Grizzly lifted this team to a couple wins, and I don't think anyone that attended or watched on TV would disagree.
Well, I saw that our decibel level at 115 matched University of Tennessee, which holds that stadium holds 101,000 people.
Yeah. That's crazy. There's a lot of Apple Watches, I guess, that were going off saying, saying you need to get out of this noise. You need to seek shelter.
He's probably going to be going to the game, but you ought to make sure that Mark Mariani's there, because you remember when he was on the team when we played South Dakota State.
By the way, he is coming. There's a lot of former student athletes across this country that are going to make their trip to Frisco. That's for sure.
For our listeners, we played South Dakota State in a playoff game, and we were down at half by 30 points.
Oh yeah!
And then Mark took the kickoff for a touch. You know, the second half kickoff for a touchdown, and had two more in the second half.
The best story, and even Mark will say this. I don't know how many attended. Let's just call it 20,000, 25,000 attended that game. After halftime, they were getting blown out. They, meaning the Grizz, were getting blown out so much. I bet you 8,000 fans came back in. But there, afterwards, there's 80,000 that actually attended the game right there.
Right, you know what I mean? Everyone was there to watch.
Just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I was there.
Exactly.
Let's do a quick ID. Our guests are Greg Sundberg, Associate AD, Color Commentary, and Voice of the Grizz. Eric Tabor, Director of Communications.
So I want to switch gears for a second here, because we can talk about Montana all – we can play out all their schemes. We could figure out what their plays ought to be and all of that. But the portal is now open in college football, and there's all of this NIL money. And I saw something today that was shocking to me, which really kind of wants your input on what this is going to mean in the future. Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and maybe the MVP of the league, is making $870,000 a year for this year playing in the NFL. The backup quarterback at Texas, Arch Manning, has got $2.3 million as a freshman in NIL money. That is
wild.
Unprecedented.
Tabor's laughing.
I mean, how...
Was this contemplated?
Was this anticipated? What's the reaction from the NCAA? There are players that have gone through the portal now four times.
So here's what happened, and we'll cut right to it.
Yeah,
the train left the station. The NCAA was all about risk aversion, and I don't mean this rudely, but avoiding lawsuits. And again, there should have been a balance of student athlete, what I would call rights. Their rights that if we're selling Mark Mariani's jersey, meaning we, the University of Montana, with AD and Mariani on the back, that gentleman should be rewarded for that. For some reason,
compensated, that makes sense.
Right, that makes sense. And honestly, some pocket change makes sense. The NCAA used to be so strict, like you couldn't buy a kid a hot dog downtown or a cheeseburger because that's an NCAA violation. So we went from completely craziness to completely craziness. I think, and I could be wrong, that this will settle down. And here's my quick example is Eric Tabor. We go to Eric Tabor. He's a multimillionaire. And we go, Eric, would you donate $1 million to get Clifton McDowell to the University of Montana? He goes, I'm in. Bad example, because Clifton's making it and making a huge impact.
I thought it was because I don't have $1 million.
Well, let's say he donates to get Joe Blow, the quarterback, $1 million from Butte, Montana in here. Let's say Joe Blow does not work out, and we come back to Eric and we go, okay, that one didn't work out. He actually dropped out of school a year later, was third string.
And or he transferred somewhere else.
Or something else. But we keep going to Eric, and it doesn't work out. How many times is Eric going to keep doing? I do think the economies of scale will come back. I think the bigs are still going to throw out two commas in some of their stuff. And right now, the University of Montana, we're in transition. As we speak, we've got our collective moving. Are we wanting to, needing to pay our student athletes, at least at this point in time, hundreds of thousands of dollars? No. But do we want to put some, I don't want to say pocket change, but do we want to reward them for good success?
Who are we worried about? Who are we worried about that's on our current roster that goes into the portal that potentially leaves us?
Well, you name it.
Junior Bergen is my worry.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to name names, specific names.
But a guy has a good year, he can throw himself out there and somebody's going to offer money.
Yep.
I just saw that the number one JUCO college player in the country went through the portal and went to Mississippi State, and he showed up at the signing ceremony in a Lamborghini.
Yeah. But again, that's the haves and the have-nots. So Montana is not Mississippi. It's not Tennessee. It's not Washington. It's not Washington State, really.
It's not Oregon. Who's going to have Nike money?
Yeah, and so there's still levels of this. I mean, the numbers, the commas that you're seeing are probably not going to reach this level, and it shouldn't. Like kind of like Greg alluded to, it's what if it doesn't work out with player X, player Y? There's a lot. This is what I keep going back to when I tell myself to help me sleep at night. There's a lot of reasons for a guy to want to stay at Montana.
Right.
And having $5,000-$10,000 in your pocket to pay rent and, you know, get a new car or whatever like that while you're here playing in front of all those fans at the University of Montana, playing for a championship, getting NFL caliber coaching and really setting yourself up for a career in football, there's a lot of benefits to all of that.
Well, the other thing, Tabs, is we've never attracted 4- and 5-star players. I mean, they don't come here.
Correct.
And even before the money, because there were other incentives. We all know that the Alabamas, the Oklahomas, you know, the Notre Dames, all those schools took care of these guys one way or another. You know, you heard stories by the athletes of the supporters lining up after a game and guys going down and getting $100 bills, and by the end of the run, they had $5,000 in there. I mean, that kind of stuff. Or Oscar Robertson saying, when he played at the University of Cincinnati, he got a job at basically turning the lights off in the gym and was paid a decent living wage for that.
Well, a lot of it too, and this is more of the transfer portal piece and not necessarily the NIL piece, but they're sort of connected, is the transfer portal was intended to, the purpose of the transfer portal was to allow guys, athletes, student athletes, the freedom to go play. To go somewhere where the situation is going to be better for you to get on the field or to get on the court.
Right.
And so if you come to Montana or you come to Montana State or Cal or wherever, and you're a star running back as a freshman or a senior out of high school, and you go to college and you find out you're going to be the number two guy for a long time, and maybe you're not going to see the field for a long time, you now have the ability to shop yourself around again and go find a better situation for yourself, which is a net positive.
Right. Well, that happens with quarterbacks more noticeably than almost anybody else.
And here's the thing, and this is where old school Greg comes out. This is the tough part for me, because I do believe there should be NIL and collective money. I do believe in that. To the extremes we see at the bigs, not necessarily. But we've completely devalued, for those that are on scholarship, what a scholarship is worth. We're not even talking about scholarship, even though we've got to go raise it every day, every year for our deserving student athletes. We're not even talking about the value of a scholarship, which is really sad. The other sad part is, and I say this in a good way, student athletes wanted these rights to have such things as the portal in it. But you know what happens, though, is they can change on a dime and move on. Well, now coaches, you're seeing there's a lot of coaches that sit in our building that if they signed up student athlete A or B and they did everything asked of them, but say they didn't have the talent, most, like 99% of the time, they'd keep them on scholarship. They'd keep them moving through to graduate.
Right.
Now that loyalty is gone, because the student athlete not necessarily have the loyalty to stick it out if they're doing well. Well, the coach might say, you know what? You're not cutting it, and you're not producing on the field, doing everything else right. So we're going to move on. It's not a great situation.
Well, it's not a great situation, and it changes the fundamentals of how the whole system operates. I mean, they don't have caps. I mean, most sports have a cap.
It's free agency. It's free agency.
It's complete free agency.
Hate to say it, but we had a donor the other day calling, because again, talk about busy. Eric Tabor, what is today? Thursday. Just got a whole bunch of communication out on
16
signing day. We had a donor that said, I mean this nicely, I'm not excited for signing day. I want to see who's dropping down. We're not even excited about the high school the high schooler from Browning, from Kalispell. And it's like, oh man, have we lost our way? This is the bread and butter, and it will continue to be the bread and butter of Grizzly football, is those recruits moving up. But you're going to see a lot more action through the portal.
Well, South Dakota State has plenty of those.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What if Montana State, like, cast the first, you know, shot over the bow and comes up with some real money to bring someone in and change the complexion? I mean, that could happen.
Sure.
That probably will happen.
I want to ask one question.
Especially after the ass kicking we gave.
For our listeners, I understand, I might be wrong, that there's supposed to be a firewall between the athletic department and the NIL money. But how does that really work? Because how do you, how does NIL investors, let's call them investors, yep. how do NIL contribute if they don't know who the player is going to be? There has to be some communication.
So that communication comes to us as administrators right. a lot of times, and we can direct. Uh-huh. We can't solicit, but Scott comes in and says, hey, here's what we want to do. Great. Thank you. We're done. Kind of like hands up.
Right.
Here's where you go. In fact, former student athlete, former 37 Marcus Wellnell is our rep for right. NIL and collective. So we have folks that run with it. We can't administer it, nor do we want to administer it. So, and so there is a firewall. That's a great question. There is a firewall.
So somebody like Marcus,
yep.
who's the rep, would come in and say to the NIL group, whoever they are, there's a recruit out there. He's a quarterback. He plays in Idaho. He's a three-star guy. He'd love to come to Montana. He needs $100,000.
Well, there's definitely there's definitely communication. Okay. There's communication, but there's no solicitation between the coach and, right. and the collective. And right now, quite candidly, we've had conversations with all our coaches, and what they're saying is, here's what the pool we're looking for. Like, here's the number. Right. And each sport's a little different. Basketball's different than football.
Right.
Football's different than softball.
Right.
On the number they need and how it's pocketed. Like, there's some sports that say, I want $1,000 for every student athlete per semester. There's some saying, I want $2,000, but then I want an extra $20,000 in case I need to get four or five different, you know, for a little
more.
Yeah. So we're just on the beginning of this. And but here's the biggest, the scariest thing for us at Montana. Where I know folks walk into Washington Grizz Stadium and think we have everything under the sun. They see the Champion Center and Dahlberg Arena. They think we are flush with money. Folks, it's just not the case. And so our biggest fear is cannibalization. Because we go and we ask folks a lot, from their season ticket to their single game ticket to their GSA to quarterback club to all of these things we're asking. And now we're saying, oh, on top of it, or we need this, and they'll say, well, wait a second, we're going to pick one or the other. Right. So it's a really tough situation for us.
Let me ask you. So while we're talking money, we should get off of money and talk about football. But
yeah, let's talk football.
If the playoffs have, what do they say, generated $7.5 million of additional revenue for the city.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Hotels and restaurants.
Yeah,
and
right. Economic impact.
Economic impact, which is great. Greg Sundberg, Eric Tabor, little ID. With this going, you know, as far as we're going to the championship, the work you're doing, when you hit the road and you start to go all over the state to try to raise money, how is this going to impact and help you?
Phenomenal. Like,
tell us how, though, because how do you get new people to be a part of that?
Well, some of it's ticketing, right? Some of that is we had about 12 folks sign up for Quarterback Club, which is a yearly membership that you. We can go on the details, but you kind of get the inside source. You get weekly meeting.
We're talking about.
Yeah, but this is Quarterback Club, where these funds go directly to football. We had about 12 members sign up so they could get in early to get the Frisco tickets. But you know what? I think what it does is it energizes everybody to get more involved. They see the product. They see what Coach Hauk is doing, and it motivates them to activate, right? And so a lot of our activation is asking folks to be a part of it.
One of the things that I've noticed, there have been a number of new people who've moved to Missoula, and the ones that have moved around the football season have become, even some of our neighbors, where Scott
football.
And I live, all of a sudden they're going to the Grizz games and they become Grizz supporters because they come from towns that didn't have this kind of Mecca.
You hit the nail on the head there. We've talked about this before, Greg, is that there's just a lot more people in this valley. We sold out every single home game, and we sold out one of the three playoff games, and we had 20,000 in the other two playoff games, which is very, very, very good for most of our playoff appearances, right? So anyway.
Yes.
And set a season ticket record this year.
Yeah, season ticket holders. There's a lot more people in this valley, and Grizzly Athletics is a great entertainment source for numerous reasons that we all know in this room. But there are those people in town, and actually one of them is a good friend of mine. Moved to town, is a doctor in town, loves football. He's all in. He's all in, and he's supporting.
I've noticed that among a number of people.
So when Greg calls that guy up, he's going to be like, let's talk some scholarship.
If you see this number on your caller ID. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that people have loyalty to the school they went to. But for some of these people, that's 30 years ago, and they don't, yeah, have never lived in that town, and you know they haven't lived in that town
or
for
got
30
disconnected
years.
Or anything.
Yeah,
else.
Right. And now they're living here, and this is the big enchilada.
It is such
in
a good game day experience too. It is not the same everywhere else.
No,
absolutely not
no.
the same other places.
I've been to Cal Poly.
Yeah, it's not great. But people love it. It's the experience they get when they come here. And if they're new to the Valley, they come see one game. They're going to come back for season tickets the next year. They might donate to the GSA the next year, join the quarterback club, whatever. But it sort of self-perpetuates.
And I think it's that perfect size program, meaning you're not Texas, you're not Georgia. I mean this in a sincere way. I mean, they're awesome institutions, awesome athletic programs. They're blue bloods, but you're a number. Where I think a lot of folks, whether you're sitting in that north end zone, the south end zone, season ticket holder, might come to two or three games. They feel like they are, and they are, by the way, they are truly a part of the success.
Well, it's much more intimate.
Yes.
You know, you go to Ohio State, it's 100,000. I mean, all these big schools you're talking about, you're paying a ton of money to go to the games. It's totally impersonal unless you're really in the upper echelon. I mean, it's not that interesting.
And I'm going to go off course, but we're talking about, you know, being a part of this. But I will say the impact, and I'm glad, Scott, you brought up the economic impact, because we're very proud of that fact. We're proud that we're not just a football game or just an athletic department. We feel like we're the front porch into the institution. We're a marketing lever or arm for the institution. I think we can be that for the city, the valley, the state. And so it's far more reaching than just, and don't get me wrong, we're in this to win it, right? There's a scoreboard. Our AD says this all the time. There's a scoreboard for a reason. We want to be on the top of that scoreboard or on the winning side. But the impacts this has on campus, community, economy are huge. And we're very proud to be a small part of that.
When Lowell Galindo of ESPN commentator, play-by-play guy, who is here for the Furman and the North Dakota State game comes on, and he is witnessing one of the great games in FCS history, and he's like, folks, Missoula is legit. The University of Montana is legit.
That's what he said.
It's beautiful, yeah. And he went on a minute-long rant about how great this place is and how great the fan base is. That's advertising that will eventually pay off to the guys who own the hotels, who own the restaurants, who own the university,
sponsors,
everybody. I mean, I use this phrase way too often, but a rising tide lifts all ships.
Yeah, well, town has been supportive for a long, long time. I mean,
of
you
the
go
institution.
Yes,
as a whole,
I mean,
yeah.
you go to any of these other places that are in the Big Sky Conference or any of the other top schools, even South Dakota State. They draw 8,000-9,000 for their games. I know they're a smaller town. Brookings is only 30,000 people. But most of these schools outside of North Dakota State and a couple of the others, they don't draw what we draw.
No,
they don't have,
and their attendance is actually surprisingly drawing down. They're not they're not getting what they
And we're going
to.
Up.
Yeah.
Eric Tabor, Greg Sundberg, let's talk football.
Hey, all right.
Because we talk money all day. Okay. But what are the keys of the game? Like, what do we need to do right on Sunday the 7th for us to get the W, right? I'll go to you first, Greg.
Greg, you watch every game. You're in there in the booth with Riley. You see what's going on. You're an analyst. Analyze this. What do we got to do?
Sometimes, I mean, I could probably hit 10 bullets, right? And they're all kind of, no duh. But I think, and it's a broken record as we talk on radio, and I say this when we start the program, we talk keys to victory. The makeup of the Grizz is this: to win the special teams battle, and we've seen that.
Yes.
That has been imperative, right?
Absolutely.
That is a
just
strength.
Just for Junior Bergen, right? Yes. Next to, but it's not just Junior. The guys lined up for him
without a doubt. It takes 10 other guys to make. Special teams has to win the day, okay?
Right.
And that means if you're in field goal range, you've got to put it through the uprights. You've got to control not even necessarily putting touchdowns, but can you flip the field? Whether it's you punting the ball away, making them go 90 yards, or flipping the field in the return game, having short fields to try to score. Defensively, I think it's going to be a lot like NDSU. I don't know if you can stop their run. Might be silly to say, can you slow them down to put them in down and distance that they don't want to be in, right? Third and long. It's easier said than done, but you have to do that. And then you have to be outstanding on third down. Yep. Like you have to be outstanding defensively
on third
down.
Which I think was the real key against North Dakota State. Yes. Was we were very
good
against.
Yeah, I think we were 3 of 14 or something. I forget
four,
this.
4 of 14 maybe against North Dakota like State.
Well, on third down. The last three games, we really weren't playing from behind. You get down 10, 14 points.
Yep.
And the clock's ticking. You have to change your offense, and they know it. Without they know what doubt. You're going to do. And yep. so you got to stay ahead of the wave.
And then I don't want to put it on one guy, but I do think, especially the last few weeks, the balance has to be there. That's what has made since NAU on this team has played complementary run pass football. And when I say that one person, I do think Clifton McDowell has to be effective in passing situations. Now that could be that he tucks in and runs for 10 yards and gains a first down.
Which he's good at. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. But he's got to be effective. And he has he's taken the reins of being the starter. And he is, once that shift kind of went on and Coach Houck said, this is your show, it's yours, go run with it, he has done that.
Well, he's 10-0. You can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah. But he's been successful, and I point to the Montana State game as sort of the prime example of this. He's been very successful when the offense has been balanced. And the offense has been incredibly balanced. At one point, I took a snapshot of the entire season to date, which was right around after the Idaho win, maybe a little, couple of weeks later, right in that neighborhood. But the amount of offensive running yards we had produced on the offense versus the amount of passing yards of the offense, there was a difference of like 15 yards in the two, which is unbelievably balanced. And that's what our offense under Brent Pease is designed to do.
And I will say this. If you look at South Dakota State, the little I've seen it, we're going to all take a little deeper dive in the coming weeks, and our coaches have already taken the deepest dive. But they, just from kind of a 40,000-foot view, they are at MSU, and they are North Dakota State. Defensively, they're a four down front. Yep. They bring three linebackers. They want to take everything to the middle. They'll play soft coverage, meaning they don't want to give anything over the top. And then offensively, they want to pound the rock. They want to pound it on first and second down. But a little different with South Dakota State, might be the best passing quarterback we're going to see all year.
Yeah. He's got juice. He's really got juice, that guy. He can move the ball.
So we get a Jerry Rice Award-winning freshman running back, and the last two games weren't up to a Jerry Rice Award caliber. Is there a reason for that? Did the defense overcompensate for him or to put extra pressure on him? Did we not make the right calls for Eli? He didn't look like the guy he looked like up until that point.
No,
I will say this, that Furman and North Dakota State, in my opinion, are the two best defensive fronts we've played all year long. I mean, without a doubt. Right. I mean, they had some dudes on those fronts.
And depth. And depth. Yeah,
and guys to keep coming at in the second and third string. But that's not a small factor, right? I mean, and I think there's a lot of reasons. The offensive line against Furman, two left tackle, left guard, didn't play much. Starting left tackle didn't. I mean, we had a kind of banged up offensive line.
Right.
They're starting to come back healthy now, which is going to be great for us.
Right.
And having 3 weeks between our last game and the championship game is magical. I mean, it's a big deal.
Is it too long?
I don't think so. They're going to get a little break. They're going to get a little break.
And South Dakota State gets 3 weeks to look at us.
Yeah, it's the same.
I mean,
it's the
same.
And they could heal up.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say, and Eric hit it on the head, is if you look at the Furman game, and of course you can just plop on the internet and watch the whole game.
Right.
But if you watch Furman, and I think South Dakota State's similar to this, their corners and their safeties were highly talented and a ton of speed. Like the gentleman named Blackshear, I think he's one of the best corners we're going to see all year.
100%.
Right? But then if you just pre-snap, before the ball is snapped, and you look and you're like, holy cow, there are eight guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage at times. Eight guys. So if you're in a spread and you've got five guys to block eight, I don't care who. I don't care if you're Walter Payton himself. It's going to be a tough challenge.
That's why Cliff ended up carrying the ball so much.
And then had some success too.
Yes.
So, hands are full. I will say this. The South Dakota State team is one ranked and undefeated for a reason. They're a complete team. They've got a ton of seniors, and they've been there, done that.
Right. they're like North Dakota State was up until they South Dakota State
and North Dakota State. They have three losses. I wouldn't want to see them again. I mean, they were
the most phenomenal team we played.
And that goes back to my point that there's only a few teams that could win games in the playoffs. A lot of games in the playoffs.
Right.
And North Dakota State, Montana, South Dakota State have that DNA.
And North Dakota State, mind you, goes 3 weeks in a row and has an opportunity to get something done on the road.
As their coach said, and I agree with their coach, you know, as a Grizz fans and playing in Missoula, that won it for us.
Yeah.
We were playing in North Dakota. I don't think we would have won that game.
And now I think Missoula really wants to duplicate that in Frisco with all the frenzy of people trying to get tickets and I don't even know what we're going to get done, but thousands of people.
The fans caused at least seven penalties.
Well, on the same line of questioning, intrastate rivalry that we have with MSU.
And that's, I think it's a good thing for us.
It's great for us, but I'm just curious. I wonder if MSU wants us to win versus they want SD to win.
They don't want us to win.
They don't want us to win.
No, it's I don't care what they say.
Let's answer
Eric
this question.
Eric and I are going to let you answer this question. We're not touching it with a 40-foot pole.
No, they don't even like people who show up in Bozeman wearing maroon
flannel.
A jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strong rivalry, and that's okay. It's a good rivalry.
Yeah, as long as we can keep it healthy. Oh, it does. Without a doubt, it makes both schools better. Top to bottom.
Well, you're competing with them, too. I mean, that's the most amazing thing is GSA competes with BAH. And,
here's the thing I will say to that, because I've heard that a lot of times. We do and we don't. Their financial picture is a lot different. Yeah, a lot different due to the high enrollment. And let's just call it they have more discretionary funds to help support their athletic department more than we do.
Right.
At the same time, you're a Grizz or you're not a Grizz. There's very few people you'll find on the corner of the street and say, hey, would you like to support the GSA or quarterback? Well, I'm kind of in between.
No.
Very rarely are they in between, and if they are, they're probably not going to donate.
Where do you go? Well, that's the ones who have wives or husbands who went to the other school, and they can't. Yeah. You know, they want to have dinner tonight.
Let's do a quick break. Our guests are Greg Sundberg and Eric Tabor from the University of Montana. Back after this. Arnie, we are back with Greg Sundberg and Eric Tabor.
So, gentlemen, a couple of things before we close out. What's going to be going on in Frisco for all the folks that are going there? Eric?
It's
going
to be awesome. Frisco is, first of all, a really good place. Frisco in the greater Dallas area is a really good place to host this game. There is so much going on. The hotels are great. It's easy to get around. The facilities for the game are great. But our folks at the Grizzly Alumni Association have done a bang-up job of getting cool events for Grizzly fans and alumni to get together to celebrate this national championship opportunity down there. So grizzalum.org, just Google Montana Grizzly Alumni, and there's just lists of stuff. There's parties, there's get-togethers, there's lists of activities for everybody to do down in Frisco on top of going to the game, tailgate parties, you name it.
What time is the game again?
Noon Mountain Time.
Noon MST.
So 1 Central.
1 Central Time. GSA, people out there who aren't involved, that need to be involved, how do they get involved?
I love it. Very easy. Upwithmontana.com. Upwithmontana.com. You can go there, and it's as easy as a couple clicks. You can support any individual sport or just the general scholarship fund.
Can I ask you boys both a score prediction?
Oh boy. Know we're going to win. So we win.
So what's going to be a score?
Grizz by a million. No. No. I retract that statement. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, number one. It's going to be a close game. I think special teams comes into it. I think Montana comes out. I'm not going to throw numbers out there, but I think Montana comes out on top, even though we're currently 12-point underdogs, I think.
13.5.
It's growing.
Yeah.
Who knows at the time of this airing?
Who knows where it'll be.
Grizz win. That's it. Grizz win. Pretty close game.
I went 12-for-12 2 weeks ago in my NFL predictions.
Wow. Holy shnikes.
I want to listen to you then.
That's Yahtzee.
24-21 Grizz.
24-21?
That's a tight ball game. 24-21. That's a good ball game.
That's a good ball game. We like good ball games. We're good in good ball games.
We have been.
We won in double overtime. You know, what happens often in a game that if you're up 30-7, like with in the Bozeman game, you're not at your best for the last quarter.
Yeah.
can't. You want to keep it. You want to keep it at the highest level. You want this season to go down as a memorable season.
Even though the Grizz were against the Cats. No.
And on that note, I think we should say a fond adieu, Eric Tabes. Thank you.
Thank you guys. Greg, it's been a blast.
Thank you so much for having us on. Hey, this
it's
is
a pleasure.
Great. Thank you guys for your support.
Yeah. Hey, we love it,
Arnie. I'll see you next week.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.